there's one particular, I love the whole song, but there's one particular phrase in that song that just resonates with me. Welcome to the place that you belong. I'm not meant for this world any longer. I'm just not. I'm glad I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm just passing through, brethren. If you're saved, you are too. Thank God we're going to heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's a reality. I trust that not only you know something about it, I trust that you know the way to get there, and you have punched your ticket, so to speak. You have made your reservation, because while heaven is a real place, it's a place that is reserved to all who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then someone has said that not only is it a real place and it is a reserved place, but it is a remarkable place. It's a place that is absolutely breathtaking. But there's a person there that makes it worth it all, and that is our Savior. Thank God for Jesus. You have your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians, and I was ready to move on to verse number 17, but God wants me to give you some instruction on how to maintain your joy. We've talked about how to have it, and I trust that it's helped you. I sure hope that you're not going through this life burdened under the load of care. We all have troubles. Jesus said that we would. Job said that man born of woman, his days were full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. We have the testimony of Job. We have the testimony of our Lord Jesus. We have the testimony of the Bible. But we have the experience of life itself. Life has trouble. And that doesn't go away when you get saved. There's still trouble in your life, in my life. But in spite of the trouble, we've been commanded, and I've mentioned this to you in verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. All of these things are commandments. And we've talked about how that these are our responsibilities to the chief shepherd. We've talked about our responsibilities to each other, depending on where we fit in that scenario here that Paul is writing to this church. And we talked about things that we have to rejoice about. And I trust that you had thought about that and you pinned some of them down. I can tell you this, the song selection this morning, Count Your Blessings, was a very appropriate song. Because it is as we count our blessings and we name them one by one, we begin to realize how blessed we are. We are a blessed people. And when we begin to realize just how blessed we are in Christ, it causes us to rejoice evermore. And there's many reasons that we have given from the Scripture, scriptural reasons that we should rejoice. I hope you pinned them down. If you didn't, I hope you'll go back and listen and sit down with a journal and just begin to write down all that we have to thank God for. We have so much to rejoice about. Amen? You say, well, now, wait a minute. Pastor, isn't there some things in life that get us down? Well, sure. But I'm talking about a source of joy. And I wish I had the time, but I really want to get to these points here because I want to talk to you this morning about hindrances to your rejoicing. Hindrances to my rejoicing. What are some things that would hinder us from keeping this commandment, verse 16. Can you think of some things right now that hinder you from rejoicing? Is it money? Is it circumstances? Is it health? Is it family? Is it a mental state? It is a spiritual condition. What is it? What is it that hinders it? Now, listen, it shouldn't stop us, but it can hinder us from following and keeping this commandment. We should rejoice nonetheless. Because as we saw last week, rejoicing is a choice. It's not a feeling that we just put on top of another feeling. And I fear that some people look at it that way. You know, I'm just going to smile through the pain. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that is truly inside of you, inside of me. It's not just something. It's someone that produces this joy, that reminds us that in spite of the temptation, in spite of the trouble, in spite of the hardships, in spite of the sorrow, in spite of the pain, we have something to rejoice about. We're saved. We're God's children. We have our helper, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. And He helps us. He's our helper. He prays for us. He makes intercession. Despite, sometimes we don't even know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God is there to help us. And He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He gives us direction. We have so much to rejoice about. We're sitting in church this morning. That's something to rejoice about. We left a home to come here. That's something to rejoice about. Most of us have all that heart could desire. That's something to rejoice about. I have a personal relationship. If I didn't have anything else but what I'm getting ready to say, it's something to keep me rejoicing while the ages roll. I know the God of heaven. I talk to Him. He talks to me. He cares about me more than I care about Him. And He's the one who's done everything for me. And yet He cares for me more than I care for Him. He loves me with an unconditional love. He has sealed me until the day of redemption. He has prepared a place for me in this place that these young ladies sang about this morning. And so we really shouldn't have to work up or muster up joy. It's a source that is inside of each one of us who were saved. And we should just unleash it and allow the Spirit of God to have His work in our lives. But there are some things that would hinder us from doing that. That would hinder us from making that choice. That would hinder us from experiencing and obeying this commandment. Rejoice evermore. I don't think there's anyone here that would deny verse 17, even verse number 18 where it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Can I tell you, so is verse number 16 the will of God? Verse number 17 is the will of God. Verse number 19 is the will of God. Verse number 20, 21, 22 is the will of God. Verse number 16 is the will of God. Rejoice. And so here's what we have decided from the Bible now, not from a preacher's perspective, but from the Bible. Number one, it is a commandment. Number two, it's not something that I can do, but yet I've been commanded to do it. That's kind of paradoxical, isn't it? So how's it going to happen? If I can't do it, well, I must yield to the Spirit of God inside of me. I must yield to Him, to His direction, because He's the one who produces, according to Galatians chapter 5, He is the producer of this joy. I can work up some feelings. I can work up some happiness, some temporal feel-good stuff. But only joy like this comes from the Lord. And as I yield to Him, then His joy will flow through me. It will be produced in my life by Him. It cannot be manufactured by the flesh. Now, there is a source. There is a cheap substitute. I want you to understand this now. And so is it with all the fruit of the Spirit. There is a cheap substitute that the flesh can manufacture. But the true source comes from the Spirit of God. And they are eternal fruit. Fruit that shall remain. It just doesn't come and go, brethren. It's fruit that shall remain. As we choose to allow it. That's biblical teaching. And so now we get to what are the hindrances? And I hope that you'll write them down. I trust that you'll really give this some consideration. I'm convinced after many years of pastoring and living the Christian life that I can be my own worst enemy. That self can be the thing that hinders us the most in this thing called the Christian life, the Christian experience, the Christian walk. Well, I know the devil gets, listen, and I'll pile on him all I can. Amen. I'm serious. I'll pile on him all I can. I have no use for him. And I'll blame him as much as I can. But in order to be honest, in order to be transparent, in order to get some help, I got to realize I'm some of the blame. I'm some of the problem. I need to fix some things. I can't fix the devil. He's unfixable. But I am and can be fixed, and I am fixable. And God wants me to yield to him so he can fix the brokenness that's still in my life. And so let's look at some of these things. I said last week, the number one thing is a false salvation or not being saved. You see, if you're trying to just work up something and it's not there, it's not there. And the only way you're going to be able to experience something that's real is for it to be real. I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation. I want everyone to leave here knowing that they know I'm saved in the grace of God and I'm going to heaven. Amen. I want everyone to leave with that assurance in their heart. However, if there's no joy in your life, if you don't have that personal relationship, if there is not a call to closeness with the God of heaven, if there's not change in your life, you need to do some inventory and find out, why am I still like I've always been? Why is there no joy? Why is there no change? Why is there no desire? And so go back to the time and check up and know that you know that your sin's under the blood and that you have a personal relationship, not with a preacher, not with a religion, not with the church, but with a person, Jesus Christ. And know that you know now that you have been saved by the grace of God. That's where the source comes. This is the first step. And if the source is there, then there's some things that could hinder that source. But if the source is not there, well, then you'll never have biblical joy. You might get happy from time to time as things are going your way. You might manufacture some feel good. But I'm talking to you this morning from the Word of God about biblical joy. Rejoicing. You say, well, now, preacher, I'm saved. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I thank God for that. Thank God for that. And I trust that everyone was able to check that box and say, I know that I'm saved. I remember when I trusted Christ, and Jesus is now my Savior. And I'm changing as He is working on me. He's still working on me, preacher. Well, He's still working on me, too. And I'm glad that God doesn't give up on us, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Now, the number two, Satan. Satan is a thief. Jesus said, the thief, he steals some stuff from you. Now listen, he steals. And he can't steal your soul. If you're saved, there's no way Satan can unsave you. He can't get your soul back. He's lost you for eternity. But I tell you what he can do. He can steal some things from you. And one of the main things that Satan steals from the child of God is the joy of the Lord. And he'll come and he's walking about as a roaring lion, the Bible says. And Peter said, you better be vigilant now. That's right. He said, you better watch out. He said, you better keep your eyes open. You better keep your antennas up because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal. He's a killjoy. And he'll steal your joy if you don't keep a close account with the Lord Jesus Christ. He stole a man after God's own heart, David. He stole his joy. And he prayed in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And so through temptation, through oppression, through obsession, Satan can come and he can steal the joy of the believer. He can't steal the soul now, thank God. But I'm here to tell you now, Satan can rob you and rob me if we allow him to. Amen. He can rob us of our joy. Please, don't let Satan take your joy now. Don't let him take your joy. If he takes your joy, he renders you all but ineffective for the cause of Christ. Satan. The third thing, ignorance. Ignorance. So many people are ignorant to what they have in Christ. You know, I'm just going to say it plain. Bad theology, bad doctrine produces joyless Christians. No joy. Could you imagine what it would be like to not realize what we have in Christ? To walk around thinking, well, I sure hope I don't lose my salvation today. My goodness. I'm glad that I understand some truth of the Scripture. That I understand what saith the Scripture. What I have, what I possess in Christ. Whose I am. I belong to Him, amen. I'm saved forever. God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's why I hear folks say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Listen, if you don't get some good teaching now, listen to me now. If you don't get some good teaching, you're not going to have a whole lot of joy. Amen. The more we know, the more joyful we should be. That's what John said, 1 John 1:4. These things, he said, my little children, these things write we unto you that what? Your joy may be full. He said, I'm going to fill you up with good, sound Bible doctrine. Why? So your joy in the Lord will flourish. You'll know all your spiritual blessings. You'll know who's fighting your battles. You'll know whose side you're on. You'll know what you have in Christ, those spiritual blessings. You'll know your eternal destiny. You'll know that fellowship with God that you need, that communion with the Lord. Ignorance. Ignorance. You know, I'm disappointed in churches today cutting out their Sunday evening services and cutting out their midweek prayer time. I pray to God that none of you, whether I stay the pastor here or God moves me out of the way, you would never be okay with one time a week. Get under the Word. Get in the Word. Get under it. Get all the teaching you can get, amen. God has put pastors behind pulpits, God ordained, God called pastors, Spirit-filled men to preach the Word of God to you. Why? That your joy may be full. That you may have the knowledge of the Word of God. These are gifts from God to the church. Is that what Ephesians says? God has given preachers and teachers, pastors and teachers to the church to teach the Word of God. Take it in, write it down, practice it in your life. Don't go through life just wandering astray, just checking a box. Well, I went to church on Sunday morning. Well, now I'm good. No, you're not good. We all need more teaching. Amen. Ignorance. Ignorance. The devil gets the upper hand through ignorance. Ignorance. Know your Bible. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's getting a little thick when you start trying to tell people what they need to do that they're not willing to do, you can always sense the resistance. But I'm going to preach it anyway. I just want you to know now, I'm not changing. I'm going to preach the truth. Get in church. Serve God. Get some joy in your life. I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm saying this because I love you. And the scripture says that ignorance, my people suffer. They're suffering. They're weak because of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Is that what the prophet said, brethren? We need to bring ourselves under the Word of God and hear its teaching and say, God, give me more. Amen? Give me more. Not, well, you know, we don't have enough people to come out. I guess we'll just shut her down on Sunday night. No. Need to crank it up on another night and then another night. Take it home with you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You see, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I don't think I'm adding anything to the scripture when I say, and then thou shalt be able to rejoice forevermore. Go home and read that 1 John again. These things have I written unto you. I'm giving you some doctrine. Why? That your joy may be full. Don't let that be your hindrance. Number four, unbelief. Unbelief. It's one thing to get the truth, but it's another to act on it. Some folks are not ignorant. They're just rebellious. I've been there, capable of getting there again. Listen, the truth is just not so we can store it up and say, well, now I know it. The truth is so we can carry it out and act on it. Amen. Right? Right, church? Unbelief will steal your joy. Unbelief will cause you to lack in this department of joy. And so don't let unbelief, don't let it cause you to fail in this way of joy. Once you know a truth, ask God to give you the strength to act on it. God, help me to act on this truth so that my joy may be full. You see, obedience to the commandments of God, obedience to the Word of God, helps bring joy in my life. Disobedience to the known truth of God not only separates my fellowship from God, but it robs me of my joy. There's no way that I can go through life disobedient, willfully, knowingly disobedient to what God has said and experience that fullness of joy that Jesus wants every one of us to experience. Why are our churches filled with people that are down in the mouth, complaining, murmuring? No joy. Why are our churches around our nation filled with that, brethren? Could it be that we're just made up our mind that we're just not going to do what God said? And God said, well, you know what? You're not going to experience the fullness of my joy either. There's a penalty to pay for unbelief. Unbelief. Always doubting. Always doubting. Can God do it? Will God do it? Should I do it? Well, if God said it, you should. Ignorance, unbelief, ingratitude robs us of our joy. Have you counted your blessings recently? Have I? Do we count our blessings daily? You know, it seems what the cry of America is in Western culture now. These are all hindrances to joy. It's like we're not thankful for what we have. We're greedy and we're envious for what we don't have. Instead of being thankful for all that God's done for us, it's almost like we look to God and say, well, why haven't you done for me what you've done for them? Be thankful for what God's given you. Amen. Everything that God's given you. Have you noticed that it just doesn't seem to ever be enough? I mean, my goodness, God's blessed us with really all that we could ask for and more. And we're still looking around like, well, what now? What do you mean, what now? And I'm talking to myself, too, in all of these, okay? I don't want you to think that I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself. Satan tries to steal my joy. Ignorance. I was telling someone not long ago, listen, to have been saved for 40-plus years, I'm ashamed at my lack of knowledge of the truth. And I'm not saying that with a feigned humility. I mean that. God holds us accountable, brethren. We need to seize the opportunities to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ignorance, unbelief, ingratitude, these are all hindrances. Are you joyful? Then what's wrong? What's wrong? Why aren't you joyful? You say, well, preacher, life happens. I know that. But the one who commanded you, I'm not the one who commanded you to do it. God is. And I'm trying to help you to experience a life full of joy. I'm not trying to take your joy. I'm trying to position you so you can get all the joy that God has for you. So don't forget who the enemy is here. It's not me. I'm here to be your friend. I'm your pastor. I care about you. I want you to experience all that God has for you. And God has a lot of joy. He's the producer of it. As a matter of fact, he has a monopoly on joy. And he wants to share it. And he has through the person of the Holy Spirit when he saved you and me. But if we're not careful, we'll put up blocks and say, no joy in this, no joy in that, no joy in that. Why? Because we won't position ourselves to receive truth, to receive knowledge, so that we can know more about God, who is the producer of our joy, who will increase our joy through right doctrine, right theology. He will increase our faith through the Word, which will do away with unbelief. Faith will be increased as we take in knowledge and truth and practice it, and it increases our faith so that we will not be as apt to have a heart of unbelief. But all of these things take work. They take discipline. If we're not careful, we'll be very busy doing all the wrong things. They do not contribute to the most important aspects and parts of our life. All of us are apt to do that. Ingratitude. God, humble me. I mean that. God, humble me. God, give me a reverence to be thankful for what you've done for me. I want to be thankful. I don't want to have an unthankful spirit, a spirit of ingratitude. I wonder if I could go a week without asking God for anything, and that all my communication with God would be telling him what I'm thankful for, what he's given me, instead of asking him for more. Are you thankful? You say, preacher, how many of these are they? A few more, and then I'll be through. And I'll just mention some of these. False expectations. You know, sometimes when folks get saved, I had some of this in me. I thought, well, man, I'm saved now. Life is going to be easy. You know, living the Christian life with false assumptions and expectations will eventually catch up with you, and it'll rob you of your joy. Because you'll have this assumption that everything's supposed to be up here, and I'm supposed to stay healthy and never have any kind of health problems, or I'm supposed to have everything that my heart could desire because I'm a Christian now, and I named it and claimed it, and so I ought to have it, and I'm a Christian, I'm God's child, so I shouldn't have any trouble in my life. These false assumptions, this false prosperity gospel has done a lot, even among those in Bible-believing churches, to cause us to believe that if life is not a certain way, then God doesn't care about us. And that's just not so. Jesus didn't promise me a life without trouble. He actually promised us the exact opposite. In this life ye shall have tribulation, in this world now. But he said, rejoice anyway. Be of good cheer. That's what he said. Why? He said, because I've overcome the world, and you're on my side now. So we're going to do this together. Amen. So don't gather false assumptions, false expectations. Please don't do that. Listen, learn some things. Paul said, I've learned, Philippians 4, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I belong to Jesus now, and whatever he chooses to do, we're going to go through this together. Let me give you another one, and I'm going to kind of close it with these. These kind of go together. Pride, and these next come under that. Pride can rob us of our joy. You know, really at the heart of pride, I want you to listen carefully here. At the heart of pride is self-centeredness. It really is. It just, I tell you, I think we all fight, we all battle with this thing called pride. We have this tendency to want to make life about us. And every situation has to somehow circle back and come to me. That's what pride does. It's all about me. And it just really, when you have to spend most of your time dealing with you, I'm speaking from my perspective now. I'll just use me then. If I have to spend most of my time dealing with me, that's just not a good way. I don't want to live my life that way. I'm a terrible person to have to deal with. And you know what pride will do? Have me dealing with me all the time. It'll just have me about me all the time. And it'll have me so unthankful. It'll have me thinking I know more than I do. It'll have me thinking that I'm better than others, or that God owes me something. Pride does all of this. And pride sets us up to where it just comes in and sucks the joy right out of us. Because pride turns everything inside. Instead of the Spirit of God working through us to minister to others, pride just turns it all in on me. And said, what about me? And then we begin to analyze and deal with self. And we listen to people and they say, well, you know, just listen to your heart. That's the very worst thing you can do. Just listen to yourself. I did, and it was a bunch of baloney. We need to listen to God. God will tell me what I need. God will tell me where I'm at. I don't want to listen to me. Me will be having a pity party. Self always exalts itself. The scripture says that self is always thinking more highly than we ought. And so pride will rob you of your joy. One of the things that is associated with that, and we'll get to the prayerlessness. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How am I going to do that, Paul? He said, in everything, listen to me, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? You get to going without prayer, and I'm going to tell you the way you're living your life. If you haven't prayed much this past week, this is the way you live your life. I've got this, Lord. I've got this. I am dependent on my intellect. I am dependent on my will. I am dependent on my resources. I've got this, Lord. That's what prayerlessness is. That's why right after rejoice evermore, it says pray without ceasing. Amen? Prayerlessness. Please hear me, church. Prayerlessness. Our church, I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. I thank God for you. And I want us all to experience what God has for us. But there's enemies out there. There's hindrances out there that are trying to suck what God has for us away from us, trying to block God's blessing of joy in our life, trying to get us to turn everything on us and think, well, I can just live any way I want and still have the joy of the Lord. No, you can't. That's a lie. Who told you that? They lied to you. need to pray, and I can still have joy. No, you can't. You'll rely on your own resources, and you'll fall flat at your face, and when you do, over and over, you'll lose your joy. I'll lose my joy. And then finally, Psalm 103. You can close your Bible and look right up here at me. Psalm 103, verse number 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Now listen to me. I pray that you'll get this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." God, I have so much to bless you for. I want all of me to bless you. I want to give you the praise. I want my heart to overflow with the joy of the Lord for the goodness and the blessing that you bestowed upon my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Just keep blessing him and blessing him. Just keep rejoicing in the Lord. Just keep rejoicing in the Lord. What's going to take that from me, preacher? The old devil. He don't want you worshiping God. He don't want me praising God. He doesn't want me rejoicing in the Lord. The devil wants us Christians to walk around like we've been sucking on persimmons or lemons so that people look at us and say, "I want nothing to do with that. Man, those people are miserable." But you get a joyful people, and people's going to be wanting to check in to find out what is going on with them. What are they doing? I want to get me some of that. You ever been around a little child, and that little child just bouncing off the walls? How many of you have little children that do that? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I knew you'd get engaged on that one. I mean, those little ones just bouncing, and you're just sitting there, you know, wanting to be happy for them, but you're thinking to yourself, "You make me sick. I wished I had some of that. I wish I had some of that energy. Bottle it up. I'll buy it from you." Amen. That's what people do when they see people that are energetic. They say, "Man, I want some of that." Can I tell you, when people see people that are full of joy, you go back and study the early church. One of the things that caused people to gravitate to the apostles and the disciples, no matter what happened to them, they'd haul them in and beat them and threaten them. They'd go right out and just praise God and just keep doing what they were doing. Amen. You couldn't stop them. And people said, "I want me some of that right there. That's real. I want me some of that." And I believe that's one of the reasons that God wants us rejoicing. It's a good testimony of how good God is to us when we're rejoicing in who we are, whose we are, and who we get to serve. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." You know what'll rob you of your joy? About as quick as anything I know. Verse number 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Have you forgotten? I do sometimes. I do. Oh, it makes me sick. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. God, help me not forget where you found me. God, help me not forget what it was like. Help me to remember what it was like to be a bondman in Egypt. Don't ever let me forget that, God. And when I do, smote me in my heart and take me back to a place of remembrance that I would not forget none of your benefits. You want to rejoice evermore? Just begin to think all along the way how God has been there with you each step of the way. Let's be a people of rejoicing. That is God's will for our life. Let's stand to our feet.